This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 148. We're officially 8 weeks away from 3 years. Dun, dun, dun. Anyways, it has been a good week. It's been fun. I actually could tell you about a little adventure of mine this week. But in other news, before we get to that, I did have another topic that I was thinking about sharing today, but I thought, later, and I had another couple of topics on stuff that I'd pulled off the web, and I thought, later, and I am actually reading a very interesting book. I may have mentioned it last week, called The End of Illness. And I'm reading that. That's pretty interesting. I will have a podcast on that at some point, because I think there's some really interesting ramifications of what he's talking about there. But later. I have something else that I'd like to talk about today, and we'll see if I can make it stretch for 20 minutes. I'm pretty sure I can. In other news, the beta readers are starting to get back to me with input on Grumpy Old Prophets Parts 2 and 3, which is Book 2, and some very nice positive input from people. People seem to be enjoying it, so that's good, that's good, that's good. I am working on Part 4, which is Book 3. As I am fond of saying, we try to make this as complicated as possible, and it's shaping up. It's always interesting when you get started with a book, because you're never quite sure where it's going, but it's coming together. It's going to be fine. I knew what the big scene in it was, but I wasn't sure how I was getting to the big scene. But that seems to be going fine. I would hope to get finished up on Tuesday this weekend. That would be my goal, and possibly get started on Wednesday. Last weekend, I got finished up with Monday, and so I'm working on Tuesday now, and of course, there's only so many days in the week, and I'm actually, just page-wise, I'm actually about halfway through with the book at this point, as far as getting it roughed in. Because it will be heavier towards the front of the week as I'm trying to set everything up. And then, you know, it will just cascade out towards the end of the week. So, some fun stuff. It feels like the key idea. Well, one of the sub-ideas that things will revolve around. The lesson in life, let's put it that way, will be the phrase, "There is nothing to fear." So we'll see. We'll see. Along with the big main point of what Christ did for us on the cross and yada, 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 and all that stuff. There is nothing to fear. And so that may be the lesson that I take away from this book in writing it. And, you know, if I personally can grow as a result of writing books, then it's a good reason to write books. Anyway, so I had an adventure this week, and this adventure is going to go on for several more weeks, and I'm very much looking forward to this adventure. I got a call from my daughter. Actually, got an email, first of all. Got an email. I think it was on Thursday or Friday. Can't remember. I can't remember even if I talked about it last week. Maybe I mentioned it last week. And my daughter said, I need to take better notes as what I've talked about and I haven't. Because believe me, by the time the week has gone by, forget it. It has dribbled out my ear. The only reason I know what any of these podcasts are about is because I put a little summary on them. Because I'm just running off at the mouth with these podcasts. Last week I got a little email from my daughter late in the week, and it said, so what's your schedule look like on Monday nights this now? And so I called her and said, so what's up? And as it turns out, her hubby was looking for something to do for her for Christmas. He hadn't made that decision yet. And he had looked and looked and talked to her about some things. And it was, Well, there's a improvisational comedy team here in town. They were founded like 14 years ago. And they do offer classes in improvisational comedy. Oh, so that's pretty interesting. 8 weeks for the level one class, 2 hours a night, Monday nights. And my son-in-law was thinking that he would get this for my daughter for Christmas. But she didn't want to go alone. And so that's fine. He needed to stay home and watch Clara. And so Lizzie had gotten in contact with me, and I talked to her. I said, well, let's think about it. Let's just think about it. As it turned out, this was a Sunday we didn't get together for dinner, so we were kind of thinking about it. I was thinking about it, and the process that I went through to get there, because I always think it's important to understand why we're making the decisions that we're making. First of all, the easiest thing in the world would have just been to say, oh, no, I don't have time. Sorry, you know, forget it. I'm writing. I'm working. You know, I really have to concentrate on this book, blah, 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 blah. But by the same token, it's only 2 hours on a Monday night. Granted, you've got travel time and decompress time and all that sort of thing. So it pretty much does knock out writing on Monday night. But it's only for 8 weeks. And so I was looking at that, thinking, well, it's not really a time issue to not do it. And, you know, I was trying to work through, okay, why would I not do this? And really, when you're talking about learning to do improvisational comedy, you know, one of the reasons not to do it is you don't want to make a fool of yourself. Well, okay, that's not a good enough reason for me. Because I just like to try stuff. And I try not to be governed by whether or not I'm going to make a fool of myself. It's just, let's try it. Sure, no problem. So, it really was a time issue, but it really was bouncing around in my head as a time issue, which was probably not really a time issue. It was a little bit of worry issue from the flesh, and I kind of knew that. But the big kicker was that this would be an opportunity for me to spend time with my daughter. And so it was not until like Monday when I was talking to my son-in-law when I was driving in. I had actually called Lizzie to talk to her and he had answered the phone. And so I was talking to him. And so he asked me, he said, well, is this something you want to do? Because we just don't want to push you into this. I said, here's the thing. If it was just me and there were no other considerations, I would probably not do it at this point. I would wait and do it at another point, even though this is something I've been interested in doing. However, the fact that Lizzie might be interested in doing it, and she asked me, and it would be an opportunity to spend time with Liz, then obviously it carries more weight. And he said, no, I understand. So he did all the research for us and determined that, yes, we could go and pay for one class, $20, and then determine if we were coming back and pay the balance. Because $20 a class, 8 classes, $160. Okay. So we thought, sure, fine, no problem. So I got away from work a little later than I was expecting, ran by Ruby Tuesdays, got a takeout salad, got to my daughter's house about 5:05, snarf down the salad. We left just after 5:15. We got there, 5:35-ish or so, and we knew there was some paperwork to fill out, so we were filling out paperwork as people were coming in, and it was very interesting. As Liz and I were going out there, we were talking about what did we expect to see? What did we think about the size of the class? There were actually more people in the class than we were expecting. And a broader age range in the class than we were expecting. And so that was a pleasant surprise. We did find out later that, in fact, it was a larger class than normal. And our teacher commented on that a couple of times. We did also find out, and I guess Alan, my son-in-law, knew this, but maybe they told me, but I wasn't aware of it, or I had chosen to forget it or something. But apparently, we're supposed to put on an improvisational comedy show at the end of these 8 weeks, like a little half hour before the real skinny improv show goes on, where we're going to do a little improv comedy warm-up show or something. I don't know. So that was like, okay. And we have enough people in the class that he said, we may actually split you into two groups. So that led me to believe that they normally have five or six people in a class, and we have 11 or 12. All walks of life. Lots of different ages in there. We have everything from an elderly gentleman who actually lives at Maranatha and does stand-up comedy on open mic nights at some clubs around town. He, I think, did he say he was crowding 70 or crowding 80? But he's advanced in years. And then we have another retiree who, he doesn't look nearly that old, so I would guess he's in his 60s. And then we have a couple from Branson who run a small newspaper down in Branson. They are not retired yet, but I would guess that they were probably either close or over 60s. And then there's me, who's late 50s. Or early, or late 50s, early 50s. I'm 53. And then there's a pharmacist technician in there who is, I think, about 7 years younger than I am. And then there's Lizzie, and she's crowding 30. And we have a financial planner in there. He, I would guess, is in his late 20s, somewhere near Lizzie's age, maybe a little younger than Lizzie. And then our smattering of college-age students. There's four or five college-age students in there. Five college-age students in there. So it's very interesting. And obviously, you know, for me, I'm going into the class and I'm thinking, okay, I have been up in front of people all my life. I'm fairly quick-witted. I'm not really that nervous about doing improvisational comedy. But it was a little different from what I was expecting. And even from the one class, I could tell where we're going now. And immediately when I realized where we were going, I thought, yeah, definitely, I'm in for this. Because I want to see this. So the first challenge for me on this improvisational comedy class was that our teacher, Jeff, who was the founder of Skinny Improv, he wanted all of us to know everybody else's names. Okay, and we don't have any name tags. That's a problem. Because I am not spectacular when it comes to names. I get in a really bad habit being a missionary kid of having people come up to me and say, do you remember me? After I hadn't seen them for 5 years, and me developing the excuse, no, I don't, but your face looks familiar, and using that as a crutch to not worry about trying to learn people's names. So yeah, names, not so good. I have known people for years, and sometimes when I need to introduce them to somebody else, I just blank on their names. Because I don't use any mnemonics or anything like that at all, which I should, but I don't. Well, thankfully, Jeff gave us a way quickly to use a mnemonic, and so we all got in a circle, and we played this game where you had to attach a word to your name that derived some sort of action. Actually, he said it was supposed to be an action word, and only like two or three people did the real thing. The rest of us kind of made up an alliteration and then made an action to go along with the original alliteration. So it's fine. It works. So Jeff was Jumping Jeff. And then we had Barfing Bill and Bendy Brianna and Eager Evan. Eager Ethan and Juggling Joe and Gregarious Greg and Super Steve and Excited Earl and Clapping Colette and I loved this one, Rotating Rob. That's our financial analyst, and he is our financial planner. He is fabulous. He is fabulous because he did it with such expression. He said, "And I'm Rotating Rob," and he just turned around slowly. It was fabulous. And Elizabeth, my daughter, was Ecstatic Elizabeth, and I was Famous Phil, and I did a little hand motion with that. And then we had Articulate Andy. And so it was all very interesting. Well, once you have something to hang your hat on in terms of a visual, it does get much easier, much, much easier to remember names. So I've actually been making an effort this week to remember their names, get them tied together so that when I get there next week, I will have people's names in my brain. And there's a good reason for that, because some of the things that we learned this week about improv is that primarily improv is not about being funny. That's not the first goal of improv, is to be funny. The first goal of improv is to listen and get in tune with the other people in the group and provide an environment of success for the other people in the group. Now, I don't know, I can't remember if Jeff actually said provide an environment of success, but I think he said something was help them be successful. And as soon as he started to talk about that, I was like, okay, I'm in. I can do this. I understand about making an environment of success for other people. Got that part. So it was interesting. We played some other games where he then illustrated the importance of listening. And how that if you're going to do improv, it's critically important that you know how to listen. That your brain isn't spinning around. Oh, Willie. Willie was the other one. He's the elderly gentleman. So his name's Willie. So how critically important it is to listen. Because he said if you're just thinking about, oh, what's the next funny line that I get to say, you'll lose what other people are saying, and you won't be locked together then with what's happening in the group at that point. Listening, I can do. The other thing they talked about that was very important is to help your fellow team members understand when you're handing something off to them. So we played some different games for that. We played games where we'd hand stuff off and then someone would start doing something and someone else would pick it up. And that idea of listening and then when you're going to hand off to someone, being very intentional about making sure they know it's coming. And both of those things are things that I think I can excel at. I think I have the self-discipline and impulse control to understand how to let someone else know that I'm coming towards you and you get it next. And so that's fun. But the thing that really, well, there were two things really that convinced me that, yeah, let's keep doing this. This is going to be worth the time. One was that Jeff, who's the founder of the troop, doesn't usually normally teach this level of class. It's usually somebody else, but that person had a prior commitment. And so for this group, Jeff is going to teach the group for 4 or 5 weeks. Okay, you know what? I recognize an opportunity, because what you get with Jeff is not someone who necessarily stays on topic. He'll start saying, well, and you'll learn that in the second phase, and you'll learn that in the third phase. So you get this mix of stuff, of things he's going to teach in other spots, and so you get a richer experience than just someone who's used to teaching the level one class and all they teach is the level one. That's the first thing. Second thing is, what really intrigued me is as we were doing some of our exercises, there were moments when the group would be given a suggestion and people would start honing in on that suggestion. And everybody would start focusing in and reacting to what they imagined that suggestion, how it would embody itself in the real world. And one of the things Jeff mentioned is that in improv, there is something that they call the group mind. And that is that when you work together with a group of people, that you can develop a group mind. That before anyone even sits down and says, okay, and we're going to do this here, and we're going to do that here, there's none of that. You just get the suggestion, and everybody starts going down a path without a whole lot of suggestions. They just pick it up and go. And I found that to be very intriguing. I'm getting my mail because I would interpret that, at least some of that, as being Jesus. You know, if you have a group of people and they're given a suggestion and it takes off at an oblique angle that's not just completely obvious to the suggestion, something is happening there underneath, beyond the natural. And one of my big goals for being in this class is to watch that happen and see if this disparate group of people with all sorts of life experiences, I'm backing into my garage, this disparate group of people with all sorts of life experiences, if to see, in fact, if they can become calm enough, if they can realize there is nothing to fear, and they can listen enough to the suggestions that Jesus might be making to us to help us do improv, to the point where we can develop some sort of group mind. And to me, that's worth being in the class just to see that happen, if it's going to happen. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.